You don't get them girls loose.
TJR.
You don't get the world loose. Loose. You don't get money.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We are back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And don't forget, even though it's the bye week, you can stay connected to the Cleveland Browns with the latest news, photos, videos, and more, including unbelievable written word from our man, Notorious VIC Vic Carucci, staff writer Matt Florjancic, and many others when you visit clevelandbrowns.com. Download our mobile app, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Browns, and on Instagram at Official Browns. And don't forget, if you missed the playmaker, Michael Irvin, he was in studio when the show starts, when the show started here today at 1. You can get that on the app. You should download the app anyway, the mobile app, or you can get it right off of clevelandbrowns.com. Going to bring in now the third member of our team, Gerard Cherry. Gerard, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Nathan and Vic.
Gerard, did you get a chance to hear some of the words from the playmaker earlier today?
Yes, I got a chance to hear the sage, the wisdom, the insights of Michael Irvin, and it's always a pleasure to hear him speak, because one thing you appreciate about him is his realness.
He is very real, and I thought the message he delivered to this Cleveland Browns team seemed very powerful, not only about being able to build and create your legacy here in Cleveland by turning a team that had not had much success into a championship team, was certainly a very powerful one and a good one, I think, to impart on this team before they depart for their bye week.
And certainly, and just hearing his pitfalls and transgressions and the things that he's went through, bye week is a time when those type of things take place, and you pray and hope that there are no headlines of the negative type of any Browns players on this time off making a dumb and stupid decision or getting in trouble of any type of form or fashion. So, yes, having Michael Irvin in there just to reiterate that message, I'm sure Coach Chizinski has been saying all week long leading up to today, of just be smart, enjoy yourselves, take advantage of the fact that you have the opportunity to get a break. At the same time, don't get away from football, because what's presented in front of you is something that we have not seen in this town in a long time. And if these guys can do something in that direction, Michael's correct. People around here will respect that, and they will appreciate, and they will show accordingly that.
Yeah, Gerard, and I think this is the other part of it, is the what he sees here being built and how he can respect that from his own experiences, a Cowboy team that was 1-15,
right,
and then turned into what it turned into as a dominant team in the 90s and a dynasty, and how that is built and how you see that come together. And he's seeing a lot of similarities, at least in terms of the initial steps to get there. And I don't think it's a reach to hear him say that that is possible for this team, not just because of time and whatever, but because he trusts the leadership of his former teammate at the U, Rob Chudzinski, and Norv Turner, his former coordinator in Dallas, mm-hmm, and he sees the parts among the players.
Yeah, I see it too. And the funny thing is this, Vic and Nathan, if Greg Little can do what he's been doing, will he be Michael Irvin, or will he be Alvin Harper? Will Josh Gordon be one or the other? Is that possible? Will Jordan Cameron become Novacek? Now, obviously, you need Emmitt Smith in there. You need an offensive line, and who's going to be Troy Aikman? God only knows that. But for the time being, you do have the foundation of offensively of something being built here, and you see that. And defensively, you already see what that's worth. So I don't think he's stretching anything or saying the right things just for the sake of saying because he's on our airways. But there is something there that you can build upon. You see that foundation being laid. And again, if you find those other players that we're missing, and it's really not that many when you think about it in this sense, you're beating good football teams. You're not playing a bunch of dogs. You're competing with teams. You're in games. And obviously the quarterback situation has been in flux, and that's been, in my opinion, a primary issue. But if you identify that, add a couple more weapons and pieces, and guys play to their ability, you have something here in Cleveland already. So I agree with him full-heartedly in that notion.
Yeah, and you know, how important is it to have a guy like Michael Irvin who has not only done it on the field but has also been through some things off the field? How important is that when you get that message as a player? Because I'm sure as a player you guys get talked to quite a bit, and it's easy to tune certain people out, the playmaker not amongst them. And specifically as it relates to Josh Gordon, a guy who's a wide receiver, a guy, mm-hmm, who's had some off the field issues, how important is that mentorship role? And we heard Gordon say he considers Irvin a mentor to him.
That's very important if he's willing to listen to what Michael Irvin has to say, and that being Josh Gordon, and respects it and takes it to heart and is not in one ear and out the other. Because when you have these intervention situations, it's not a powerful message when this guy who's done everything right. I mean, okay, you Mr. Goody Two Shoes, but when it's a guy who's been through it all, gone through a lot, and is on the other side of that and can tell you from his experience that he wasted so many opportunities, I believe he used the term 15 years of his life, of some foolishness, if you're not willing to listen to that and adhere to that and step in line from that, there is no help for you. So in Josh Gordon's case in particular, what better messenger than Michael Irvin to deliver the message of, hey, here's what I've been through. I did not benefit from it. Yes, I am in the Hall of Fame. Yes, I was on a great team, but it cost me in other areas that are even more immense than what I've gained from a notoriety and stature standpoint. So if you miss that message, even if you're not Josh Gordon, you're the rest of the Browns players, there's something wrong with you. It's just that simple.
Gerard Cherry is joining us, a regular here on CBD. And Gerard, Michael Irvin got into, as so many analysts have, and former players, current players, you name it, it's the topic of the week. The situation in Miami with Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin, how much more there is to know from this. But I think the most recent piece, two things. One, that Irvin talked about his own encounter with Charles Haley, mm-hmm. and basically standing up to him on an incident on an airplane, and Haley, as he said, fortunately, thankfully, not acting upon going forward to someone else that he was dealing with, a staff member that Irvin wanted to protect. So the upshot of that is Irvin was the consummate leader in that situation. How important is that? There was a reference to we heard a reference to with ESPN, now that he's there with ESPN, Teddy Bruschi saying enough is enough with the $15,000 to $35,000 tabs, dinner tabs, flight to whatever the costs are, to tell Bill Belichick this has got to stop. So having that type of thing is one thought I have for you, and the other one is how far can this thing go with Miami, with coaches now reportedly encouraging Richie Incognito to, quote, toughen up Jonathan Martin?
On two takes. One, I was with Teddy Bruschi at those $35,000 dinners, and I don't know exactly what Teddy ordered, if he was one of the guys that was overindulging, because that was a problem. I will say for my own self, I was a cheap date on that night. It was just steak and lemonade. And Teddy strikes me as the type of guy where that had been the case as well, because he's not a heavy drinker. But guys would abuse that, and it was wrong in that sense, and it was gluttony at its highest form. So I'm with him in that regard. It doesn't build team chemistry, per se, to go out there and force a guy to split up and divvy up a $35,000 to $50,000 bill. So I agree with that. Now, are there other forms where we can have DB night out, defense night out, and just everybody take their own portion of share? That builds camaraderie more so than the idea of having a guy who may be check to check at that point in his life paying that bill. So I'm with Teddy on that. Now, I don't know what he did, because I hate for the guys who were the ones who were exploiting it to now come up and say, yeah, we should stop it now because it's a good soundbite. Now, I don't know if Teddy didn't strike me as that guy back then, because he didn't do those things that would be a person who would exploit that situation. So I can speak and vouch for Teddy. Yes, he's right in that assessment. Now, far as the whole thing with the coaches, I firmly believe, and I have no proof of it, but I do think that a message was sent to Richie Incognito, and this doesn't justify what he did, to toughen Martin up, because he was struggling. His perception coming out of college was, this guy, he has the ability, he has the size, but does he have that mean streak in him? Now, I've heard some people say he does have it, but here's the bias that takes place in the NFL with certain guys that come from an academic institution like a Cal, Stanford, or Ivy League, is do they have that dog in them? Are they mean? Are they aggressive? And some guys do, and some guys don't, who even went to SEC schools or MAC schools or Big Ten schools. So it goes across the gamut of that, but I firmly do believe that Incognito was allowed the authority to say what he said and do what he's doing, because you know coach and not know what's going on. I mean, you have your ear to the locker room, I like to say to the street, and you know what's happening. So you could not, if you're Philbin, be that unaware of what's taking place in your locker room, because it's your locker room. So I think Incognito was given the authority to toughen him up. He just took it to extreme to figure that, hey, if he's like me and the way I think, he'll be better for it. And obviously it was not the case. Martin's not the type of guy that registers from that. He's an intellectual. That's not going to get to him. Go to his intellect, not his emotions. And that's what that's the way they play it the wrong way, in my opinion.
Are you surprised that so many of Richie Incognito's teammates are actually publicly speaking to his defense, despite some of the things and some of the, you know, phrases and words he chose to use when going after Jonathan Martin?
Not at all, guys. And the reason why is, when you're perceived as soft in the NFL locker room, you get no respect. It's really that simple. It shouldn't be that way, but that's just the way it is. And that's, think about any sport you've played. It don't have to be an NFL locker room. If a guy's playing a contact man gladiator type of sport and he's not bringing it to the level when you think he's capable of bringing it, and he seems aloof and he seems just not passionate about it and aggressive, and that's what he's lacking is aggressiveness, you get picked on. It's just what that environment creates. It's wrong, but that's where it is. And you should be more about, okay, how can I lift him up? But some people think, well, if he gets fire and brimstone and becomes piss and vinegar, that'll do it for you. That's why I go back to, I think he was told incognito, and I'm not justifying what he did by any stretch of the imagination, but I do believe that once this thing is all said and done, we will find out that the coaches told him, be it offensive line coach or be it the head coach, do something to get this guy fired up and more aggressive.
One last question. Gerard, who do you think has a better chance of playing in the NFL again, Richie Incognito or Jonathan Martin?
Neither. Because you won't be respected if you're Jonathan Martin, because you're going to see this guy who has to have someone back him up. And for Incognito, who can touch that? I mean, the NFL is probably going to do something that's unheard of. You're going to have HR probably in the NFL after this. This is a milestone, in my opinion, of things right to come with the NFL, in which the culture will be changed drastically. And the part that no one's really talking about is, for some coaches, that's the only way they can coach, is to use the authority of the position of, I hold it over you, I will put you down, as a way to fire you up. If you can't talk that way no more to a player, you may have lost a huge part of your arsenal as a coach and how you go about treating guys and how you go about dealing with guys and motivating them and coaching them. So what we're about to see take place, I believe, from this situation is going to be not catastrophic, but it will be cataclysmic in the sense that it is going to change, again, along with the whole concussion situation, the structure of how things are run internally in the National Football League.
Great All insights, right, as always, from Gerard Cherry. Stay tuned at 3 p.m. Eastern, less than 10 minutes away. Julian Gerard will be here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Thanks a lot, bro.
No problem, guys. Take care.
All right, bro. We will be back to wrap things up here on another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4. But let me remind you that the United Way of Greater Cleveland mobilizes our community to advance education, income, and health. Join us and live united at unitedwaycleveland.org. Back with final thoughts when we return on CBD.